Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, let's jump right into it. Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA in Montana, she will be with us here in just a few minutes, but we've got a quick frago for Monday's show here. Attorney General Austin Knutson joining us here for the first few minutes. Attorney General Knutson, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Hey, I tell you what, you know, the last 4 years you've had to fight the current regime in Washington at every turn, from their open borders policies to federal environmental overreach, you name it. But it sounds like you're already in talks with the inbound Trump administration. You've actually got an opportunity to work together with Washington for a change pretty soon.
We're not going to know what to do with ourselves, Aaron. This is just a complete breath of fresh air. But, you know, I was the Speaker of the House for the state legislature when Donald Trump was elected the first time, and I remember the same thing happened then. He got elected, and suddenly, here's me, a little old puny state legislator, getting phone calls from the White House asking, hey, how can we help? We want to work with Montana. That was completely different than we'd had under all the Obama years. And now here we are again. It's Groundhog Day all over again. I got the Trump administration. They're already trying to be a good partner. They're reaching out. Hey, what's going on? What's happening with our agencies? How can we assist when we get in place? What do we need to be concerned about? Just already a complete sea change for the better.
Well, especially, I mean, a lot of the biggest problems for law enforcement in Montana has been because of this wide open southern border. Now it's been confirmed, according to DHS, that Trende Aragua has a presence in Montana. No big surprise there. I mean, the drug cartels have been allowed to come into this country. And so now to have an administration in Washington that will work with our AG, with our governor, with local law enforcement to get these illegal aliens out of here is going to be huge.
Well, and I'm excited. You know, Pam Bondi had my job in Florida. She was the former Republican state attorney general, did a fantastic job in that role. Having her come in as the U.S. attorney general and then the head of the U.S. Department of Justice, Kristi Noem, Governor Noem of our neighbor sister state, South Dakota, going to come in and run Department of Homeland Security. I can't tell you how excited I am about that. When we've got Border Patrol telling us right now that they are not allowed to come down and help Montana law enforcement with any kind of immigration issues. And I can tell you, Aaron, that's happening. This is just going to be an absolute breath of fresh air. It's already having a ripple effect downstream, and we're really looking forward to President Donald J. Trump.
That's right. Well, Attorney General Austin Knutson, hold that thought. We want to talk with you. There's still some big developments taking place, and even though the new sheriff is coming back to Washington in January, there's still some of these legal battles, like your lawsuit against the ATF, et cetera, that are going to still have to move forward to keep this bureaucracy in check. So we'll talk about that lawsuit and much more right after this with Attorney General Austin Knutson here on Montana Talks.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, quick update here from Attorney General Austin Knutson. General Knutson, some of these lawsuits are going to have to continue moving forward and work their way through the process despite the inbound regime. I know one of those deals with the ATF. What do you want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, well, Aaron, you know I'm a big gun guy. You and I hang out at SHOT Show. We talk firearms. Some guys watch football. I'm usually out of my gun bench tinkering with something. I'm a big ATF hawk, and we've got the ATF that is still pushing a rule that's really, really dangerous. The ATF doesn't get to change law. Their job is to enforce the law, and so this has to deal with force reset triggers, binary triggers. Look, I personally think that they're kind of a dumb accessory. They're a great way to waste a lot of expensive ammunition. But they're perfectly legal. They've been legal in this country for a long time. Under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the ATF just arbitrarily decided that that was now a machine gun. That a piece of plastic is now a machine gun, and it turns you into a felon. We sued over that. I'm really proud to tell you we got all 28 Republican AGs in the country to join with us in this lawsuit. We've sued the ATF. I think we very likely end up in front of the U.S. Supreme Court on this one. Unfortunately, like you said, even though Donald Trump's coming, you still got bureaucrats in these agencies that are trying to pull garbage like this, and we have to hold them to account.
Yeah, well, and speaking of the ATF, I remember when, you know, the ATF had Canadian law enforcement, you know, so law enforcement from a foreign government operating on American soil here in Montana, and they didn't even coordinate with local authorities.
Yeah, well, it's funny you bring that up, Aaron. So my hair is absolutely on fire. That happened about 2 years ago. It happened in Great Falls. Sheriff Jesse Slaughter found out that there were Royal Canadian Mounted Police, so a foreign police force, hanging out in the parking lot at the local gun show in Great Falls and conducting surveillance on people. Sheriff Slaughter rightly told them to get the heck out of his county. Well, guess what happened this week? We had the Royal Canadian Mounted Police reach out to Montana Department of Justice. They reached out to our Division of Criminal Investigation, DCI, because they want to do the same thing. They want to come to the Bozeman Gun Show, and they want to come to the Kalispell Gun Show and conduct surveillance. I absolutely hit the roof and instructed my agencies, we are absolutely not being a part of this. We do not need Justin Trudeau conducting China-style surveillance here in America. If he wants to surveil his citizens, he can conduct surveillance in Canada. I've already talked to Sheriff Springer in Bozeman, Sheriff Hano in Flathead County. When we're all on the same sheet of music here, this is inappropriate, probably illegal, and if we need to, we'll sue the federal government over this one too. But we're still kind of looking for details. But I did find out just within the last couple of days that this is what Canada is wanting to do. And unfortunately, I think Joe Biden is going to play ball with them. I think he's going to try to let him do it.
That's crazy.
We're going to be on our toes here and try to get this shut down.
Yeah, that's just is crazy to me. Why would we allow a foreign government to spy on gun shows in Montana? Why would we allow, especially, I don't know if you've been watching some of the news out of Canada right now. I mean, when is Canada going to decide to be a part of the free Western world once again? They had practical terrorists in their streets doing violent protests, violent anti-Israel protests, but they want to come spy on gun shows in, this was taking place in Canada, but they want to come spy on gun shows here in America?
Aaron, this is the stuff that China does. I mean, literally, China has secret police all over the world trying to conduct surveillance on Chinese citizens abroad, not inside of China, and trying to keep them in line and make sure they don't say anything bad against the Chinese government. That's what this looks like to me. If Justin Trudeau is so worried about his own citizens, he should worry about them in his own country. This is just more leftist garbage. I don't understand what the Canadians are doing up there, but this is the guy they've elected, and this is the kind of garbage he's trying to pull in a foreign country. And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris seem to be okay with it. I tell you, January can't get here fast enough, but we've got to stay vigilant and keep an eye on this garbage.
That's right. You know, I have. I wonder what's more of a threat to America right now. Is it Canadians? You know, peaceful Canadian citizens having guns. Or is it this tyrannical regime that is quickly, like you say, turning into more of a communist Chinese style regime under Justin Trudeau? Hopefully Canadians are about to finally kick that guy to the curb, just like we kicked Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to the curb.
Yeah, I feel really bad for our neighbors to the north. You know, I folks in Saskatchewan, Alberta, I don't think they feel like this. I don't think Justin Trudeau represents the values that those folks have. Those are farm folks, ranch folks. Those provinces look a whole lot like Montana, like North Dakota, like Idaho. I feel bad for them, but this is the guy who's in charge. Sorry, Montana's wide open. Come on, move down here, but we are not going to let Justin Trudeau come down here and conduct surveillance on American soil.
While he lets the pro-terrorist protesters commit violence in the streets and threaten, you know, journalists. I even saw on Harmeet Dhillon shared on it that they're now banning non-state-owned news in Canada. And somebody asked the question on X, what is this, North Korea? I mean, you can't even get on Fox News on certain social media applications in Canada today. All right, Attorney General Austin Knutson, gratefully appreciate your time. Keep up the fight. Thanks for the update.
Thanks, Aaron. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Quick break, and then we've got Stacey Zinn, the former head of the DEA in Montana. The Department of Homeland Security confirming that Trende Aragua, the violent Venezuelan gang, has a presence in Montana. We'll talk about that, the Mexican cartels, and more.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, great now to have Stacey Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana. She's got an incredible career in the DEA, several tours overseas in Afghanistan, several down south. This woman has literally sat across the table interrogating Mexican drug cartel operatives. Stacey, great to see you back in studio. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, absolutely. Good morning, and good morning to all the listeners out there.
Obviously, you know the Mexican drug cartels. You helped fight the cartels while you were heading up the DEA here in Montana. But I got to ask you about TDA, Trende Aragua. The Department of Homeland Security apparently published an intelligence memo about 3 weeks ago now, either right on election day or just before the election, but it didn't get public until afterwards. And they're saying that Trende Aragua, this violent Venezuelan gang, is now operating in 16 different states, including right here in Montana. Was that a surprise to you when you saw that report at all?
No, not at all. What we've seen is the flow of Hispanics coming up into this general region, and doesn't mean that every Hispanic is wrong, because I'm Hispanic. But you're going to have some bad apples that are going to be able to infiltrate. So what we saw was a movement going into Big Sky Construction. Once we saw that start taking place, we started seeing the cocaine flow coming in. Once it hit Bozeman, it started dispersing. What I learned probably a year ago is that we had individuals from Mexico, Honduras, Venezuela coming in. And what really surprised me, it was Venezuela. Why are they coming way up here? We probably had a couple bad actors come up here and started scouting for territory, blending into the Latin community, and then actually springboarding from there. And this is what they do. They go from city to city to see where they can grow roots. They go to areas where there's lack of law enforcement, lack of a federal footprint, and Bozeman is a prime real estate that has lack of resources down there. So why not set up shop there?
And a lot of money in Big Sky, a lot of people coming and going, and a lot of massive growth. Yeah, so when it comes to the gang activity in particular, because, you know, that was another angle I hadn't brought up yet, but, you know, Billings, Montana, Hardin, that area, the Crow Reservation has had a big problem with youth gangs, you know, teenagers and gangs and violence and drugs. But it sounds like the Billings Police Department feels pretty good about the effort they've taken to combat that gang activity. They've got a guy used to work down in Southern California who helped advise them on what to do. Do you feel like Billings kind of started to see that they were getting hit by the cartels and then hit by this gang activity too? So they started pushing back against some of this stuff. Do you feel like it's almost like Bozeman and Gallatin Valley has a bigger challenge with some of that now than even Billings does?
Well, it's okay. Billings, as law enforcement, we got caught flat-footed about a year and a half ago. We knew about the 300-block Crip. They had been here for some time. They're made up of Native Americans. It was a perfect storm. You had individuals coming from Atlanta, Mississippi, and also Chicago region coming in. They joined forces, and then they started recruiting these young kids. We had individuals coming from California. You have Fresno Bulldogs. You have other notorious gangs that are starting to sniff around. When we started seeing the tagging The tagging taking place. Tagging is the spray painting of certain letters, symbols on the walls and stuff. That was them signaling, hey, we're coming, we are here, we're trying to plant our flag. So what law enforcement
like
did...
Like dogs peeing on, peeing on a yard,
yes.
Marking territory.
That
yeah.
is true. And so what they did was law enforcement here, your local state and feds got together and said, not in our backyard, and pushed back hard. Now, maybe we were a step behind, but they were able to make up and doing great investigations. ATF, HIDA, and stuff out here did great investigations, put a lot of these individuals in jail. Meanwhile, Bozeman is sitting there ripe for the take-in because, again, you don't have enough federal presence. You have a small law enforcement, but they have to do enforcement. They have to do, you know, white crimes. They're trying, you know, they have a drug problem.
Transients.
Absolutely.
Have invaded the area. All these, you know, so-called urban campers. I mean, you name it, their hands are full.
Absolutely. And so then what does a criminal element do? They take a look around saying, you know what? We are going to blend into the community, and we're going to start quietly set up and shop. But luckily for law enforcement, they're not that quiet. They're coming in, and they're making – these criminal elements are making mistakes. They are getting high. They're getting drunk. They're doing these criminal acts under the influence. That's the one that wakes us up. I was in Livingston last week talking to local law enforcement and learning of the things that they're seeing, and they're saying, Stace, we don't have the footprint here, and we need more bodies.
So you and I actually did an interview with a Canadian reporter. I did an interview with them, and I was like, hey, man, you should talk to Stacey Zinn. She headed up because we were talking about, you know, the open borders and the illegal aliens in Montana. And he was definitely a liberal reporter from, like, the Canadian Globe and Mail. So he was, like, pushing back. He's like, well, how many illegal aliens are there in Montana? I was like, we don't know. He's like, well, how do you know they're here then? Because I look at our jail rosters and I can see how many criminals are in our jails on ICE holds right now. And I can look at the federal court notices that come out that talk about the non-citizens that are being arrested for fentanyl and meth charges. So that's why we know they're here. We just don't know how many because, hey, they're coming in illegally. And then this federal government under Biden-Harris has been allowing them to just go all over the country. And it's not like they give a phone call and say, hey, Mr. Attorney General, hey, Mr. Governor, we're sending blank number of illegals your way. They just send them.
Absolutely. It's funny that you mentioned the jail roster. You look at Gallatin County's jail roster and you see the individuals that are on ICE hold. There's one there that has been there since 2023. And you start kind of peeling back the onion. He's like, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we are housing these people here, and it's taken up resources, it's taken up beds, our funding. ICE needs to get these individuals out and do what their mandate says is deport them back to their country of origin. And it's not being done right now.
Or put them in a federal prison, because the challenge is if we just deport these criminal illegals that are violent, and then they're probably just going to break back into the country anyway, right?
Whereas
if we get them in the federal prison system, okay, now we Montanans aren't paying for it and, you know, tying up our jails and our prisons, but these people are taken off the street and not allowed to just break back into the country and commit these crimes all over again. TDA, Tren de Aragua, I did reach out. The Bozeman police chief, Chief Veltkamp, told me that they've had some interactions with individuals they believe are suspected to be a part of Tren de Aragua. But he said, as you can imagine, it's hard to know for sure the level of their involvement or connections with something like Tren de Aragua. But he did say that they do have individuals they believe are suspected to be a part of TDA.
Well, that news report that came out, it just didn't come out of thin air. And they didn't highlight Montana just to spook people. There's something there. You had to look at tattoos. You have to. A lot of these individuals also have fake IDs. You're able to print out a Social Security card or fake ID, $500 probably max nowadays. And so it's easy to fool law enforcement unless you have these individuals' fingerprints on file and their real name buried somewhere. That's a problem with these individuals. Also, they have dual last names. And if they change the padre to madre, madre to padre, then, it's going to mess up the system, and you're not going to know who you're dealing with. That's why law enforcement has a difficult time trying to determine who these people are and where they came from.
Which is why biometric collection of non-citizen illegal aliens is so important. So then we can say, oh, wait a minute, your name might tell us you're one person, but your fingerprints tell us exactly who you are. We did a little bit of that overseas dealing with the terrorist threat. Well, the real reason I wanted to get you in on the show today was the Cowboy State Daily, which is a great news website down in Wyoming. They had this headline and a story that I think really captured this story like I don't think any other outlet has done thus far. This is their headline: Mexican cartel tied to real life Breaking Bad meth bust on the Crow Reservation. This is like something straight out of a TV show where they used a woman who was the head of a college program on the Crow Reservation to basically be their drug cartel ringleader to then target her own Crow people with these drugs. It's sickening when you read this story.
It is a interesting and sad story. This was my last act of head of DEA here. We worked this investigation for quite over 8 to 12 months. We teamed up with FBI and BIA, and we worked it collectively as a team. And that's how you're supposed to work these long-term cartel-type investigations. It was sad to see, especially with Frederica, because of her. She was out. She had built her life. She had her, graduated. She was, part of the college system. She had made it. And unfortunately, she made some poor, poor choices. And the cartel and her family, the immediate family that were working with the cartels, it was the perfect storm. They impacted at least 5 different reservations. It was an investigation from Washington, state of Washington, all the way to here in Montana. And this is the first time we saw CJNG, Nueva Generacion Cartel, actually had a footprint here in the state of Montana. So it was eye-opening, but it was a very good investigation, and I'm proud of the efforts of the law enforcement, what we did.
I'll have you just flip your microphone up. It floated down on you a little bit there. Yeah, there we go. All right, perfect. But yeah, because I know folks all across the state definitely want to hear every word that you're sharing with us now. So yeah, it became known as, what was it?
Spear sighting.
The spear sighting case, because apparently this was location, this Spear Siding, which is where her and her family members all lived and ran this, this multi-state drug ring out of. This is halfway between Lodgegrass and Wyola on Highway 451. The area is known as Spear Siding, and it's considered a sacred ceremonial site where an annual Sundance is held in June or July. So they took what was considered to be a sacred ceremonial site and used it to be the cover for their multi-state drug ring and target their own people.
Oh, absolutely. Then the Native Americans were talking about spear sighting, like, what is spear sighting? So they basically actually share the information about spear sighting, but they're saying, yes, the drug cartels is on spear sighting, so we ran with it.
Very interesting. All right. Hold that thought. More to follow with Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana. Plus, will we now see an all-out war take place between the Mexican cartels and Tren de Aragua, potentially? That more next.
Brought to you.
Love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The radical transgender lawmaker from Missoula called out by the popular Libs of TikTok social media account. Full story, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks ag. With Lane Nordlund.
The Environmental Protection Agency is facing renewed pressure to deny applications re-registering the controversial weed killer dicamba from 3 of the biggest crop protection companies. 3 Senate Democrats are urging the EPA to deny applications to re-register the herbicide, saying the weed killer cannot be used without causing unreasonable adverse effects. U.S. Senators Cory Booker, Bernie Sanders, and Peter Welch say that the herbicide can drift when sprayed and cause irreparable harm to human health. Re-registering the herbicide with tighter usage restrictions, as the agency has done in the past, they say has not been enough to mitigate damage from dicamba. The senators reiterated that dicamba cannot be fixed. In other news, the Farm Credit Administration recently selected Zachary Lund to serve as its deputy chief of staff. In this newly created role, Mr. Lund will support the Office of the Chief of Staff in planning, directing, and overseeing day-to-day control of operations for agency offices in accordance with the operating philosophy and policies of the Farm Credit Administration Board Chairman and CEO Vince Logan and the FCA Board, all with the goal of helping farmers and ranchers in the countryside receive funding to stay in business, expand, and look at opportunities in agriculture. I'm Lee Northlund.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, Stacy's in. I feel like we need to kind of look back, go back two years ago or so, because I remember you and I would talk about this on the radio. I would mention it on the radio. I don't know when you were able to first talk about it, but I remember you specifically saying, I remember we would say it on the radio, look, the Mexican drug cartels are even targeting places like Lodgegrass, Montana. I've got friends that do a ton of work and were living there at the time, and they were saying, yeah, it's crazy. The drug cartels are targeting this area. But I remember like arguing with some of these, Montana Democrat Party activists on Twitter, and they were downplaying it. Oh, come on. That's not happening. This is Montana. We're not Texas. This isn't the southern border. They were downplaying or outright ignoring or just denying that illegal aliens even really had a big role in Montana. I mean, I'm remembering this correctly, right?
Yes, that is correct. And what happens is that when you're doing a federal investigation, you have to wait until the case is fully adjudicated in order so it doesn't bias the jury when it's time for sentencing and stuff. So that's what we had to do. Yes, did we had the information that we just couldn't share it with the audience or with the community, which is sad because the community doesn't know what's going on, in their backyard, and they need to know in a timely manner. So that's one of the drawbacks of this. But yes, we had the cartel here. The cartel's not going to go. I mean, we are able to gut it off those five reservations, but there will be a backfill. And the reason why there'll be a backfill is because, again, lack of law enforcement, lack of a footprint, and they are going to prey on the people of Montana because of the pricing of the drugs. They can make triple amount of the monies here than they can in Denver, Salt Lake City, even Washington.
What's the latest you're hearing with regard to pricing? Because it's what was it like $60 a pill a couple years ago? You could sell some of these fentanyl pills, say in Wolf Point or Poplar on the Fort Peck Reservation. That's how much you could sell these pills for when they might only be what, $2 or even pennies on the dollar down in some of these border states. What's the latest pricing now?
It's bouncing all over. We had 4 months ago it was $100 off on Wolf Point. Then it dipped down to $22 and then down to $12. To me, that was signaling that you had rival gangs or rival cartel members coming in and trying to gain new customers.
Market advantage or something.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
wow.
The prices are bouncing all over the place. But the prices are still higher here in Montana than they are in our southern states. They still can make the profits. And these individuals that have come out here and scouted the area know that. And that's why we see more of an influx of drugs being pushed here more than ever.
Wow. Yeah. So even though the Mexican cartels, certain cartels were hit and hammered by thanks to your investigations and of course, the incredible men and women that work for the DEA that worked there when you were there, that still work there to this day. Others are still seeing the opportunity because of the wide open borders, the lack of law enforcement. So hopefully that's something the inbound Trump administration can start to really turn around. And that's where his mass deportation plan is going to be so important, working with local law enforcement. How do you see an inbound Trump administration able to work with Montana law enforcement to get rid of these illegal aliens and these drug cartel operatives?
We need to put people in power that have the best interest of this country, and they want to follow the mission that Trump has laid out. And how you do that is that you get more of a presence here. you have marching orders from D.C. saying we will clean up our streets. You need to have a U.S. attorney here. And you do have, for the past several years, you've had some good U.S. attorneys here. They have to be willing prosecutors to prosecute these individuals. But you also have to have the head of these agencies are willing to do what they're mandated, meaning going out there, picking up illegals, because that is still a criminal act by coming here into the United States illegally. You have to pick them up, and then you have to deport them back to the country of origin. Now, the problem that we'll run into is that the country of origin, like Venezuela, that emptied out their jails by saying, we don't want these people back. Well, that's when the Trump administration says, you know what, cut off the funding. And we'll see how, you know, if they change their mind
quickly.
Cut off
their oil supplies.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's what's been so outrageous about this current administration in Washington is, like, they claim to be so against Russia, but yet, like, they never went after, you know, Russian oil truly. That, I mean, they allowed Iranians access to oil. They allowed the Venezuelans access to oil. And what do the Venezuelans do? Dump out their prisons and send the worst north to the United States of America. Do you see, when you talk about rival gangs coming into places like Wolf Point, and that's why the prices are roller coastering, because maybe rivals are coming in trying to sell the drugs. Do you see Trende Aragua getting involved on that, or are they just more of a rival gang that might get at? And could you see like a full blown gang war between the cartels and Trende Aragua and maybe some others in Montana?
Well, what's interesting is that I was down in Bozeman, and I've been there several functions, and I've talked to some Hispanics down there, and they're teamed up with the Hondurans, Venezuelans, and Mexicans working together. That signals to me that there's a gentleman's agreement. What they're trying to do is that there's much money to be made. It's like the cartels, Sinaloa and CJNG. They will work together in the same setting here in the United States in order to make money for everyone. Now, down in Mexico, there's a lot of warring and stuff trying to grab territory. But right here, they're not. And the reason why, because they don't want to highlight their presence here. They do not want to shed light on the fact that they're here. Obviously, there's been missteps by some of these individuals by being arrested and stuff and then signaling, hey, they're here. But right now, I don't see the warring taking place. Now, if they decided to spread up and they come more in numbers and say, you know what, we want to take over this territory completely, then we're going to have a problem.
When we look back again at this Cowboy State Daily story, Mexican cartel tied to real life Breaking Bad meth bust on the Crow Reservation, you kind of hinted that there were some heroic folks on the Crow Reservation who came forward and shared intelligence with law enforcement that said, hey, Spear Sighting, that's where they're operating out of. That's where it's happening. That's what kind of got authorities to realize, like, okay, now we got a lead. I know there's going to be a lot of unsung heroes whose names will never be shared or whose stories will never be told. But there are some heroes who we already know about, like the mayor of Lodgegrass, Mayor Quincy down there. When I did my radio show live from Lodgegrass several months ago, it was so cool. You popped down to join us, and Mayor Quincy was there, and got to see you give him a hug. And bold, courageous leaders like that, some publicly, some covertly, have been doing everything they can to stand up for their people in the midst of all this.
There's individuals in the Native American community that want to clean up their reservations. They want to live a peaceful life. And those are the ones that will speak or whisper. There were some mishaps on some of these drug transporters, and that also opened up our eyes. When I heard that CJNG was actually laying their head down in Lodgegrass, I'm like, absolutely not. And what we did is we used some tools and assets to be able to infiltrate them. And it was interesting to see, because you see the community, they were terrified. They were scared. They knew that they had the cartel in their backyard, but their hands were tied. They didn't really know who they could trust. And so that's when we started getting whispers and stuff like that. We were lucky that we paid attention. We were lucky that we were able to get the resources that we needed to get them. But what was sad is that we had learned that they had been by the reservation in Washington for over 5 years, and law enforcement couldn't get to them because of the way that they had entrenched themselves into the community and fortified themselves on private land that law enforcement couldn't touch. The cartel's misstep was they branched out and got greedy, and it shed a light on what they're doing. And we were just lucky and fortunate we were able to react like we did.
Well, as people can see, a lot of people said, Aaron, what are you going to talk about now that the elections are over? Well, of course, we talk about everything under the sun anyway, but as you can tell, there's still a lot to talk about. We got to go after these criminal illegal aliens, and we're going to have an administration in Washington that's going to work with our folks back here in Montana. to clean up our streets and to kick these criminal illegals and the cartels and more out of this country. Back right after this.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mexican cartel tied to real-life Breaking Bad meth bust on Crow Reservation. That is a headline from Cowboy State Daily. We're going to talk with Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana. She's going to join us statewide on Monday's Montana Talks. She'll be with us in studio from 9 to 10 a.m. Plus, we want to hear her take on President Trump's mass deportation plans and how we can get these illegal aliens out of here.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a few minutes left here before we wrap up the hour. Always interesting to chat with Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana. And she also ran for Congress here in the Eastern Congressional District as well. And some people are like, wow, I was surprised at how well she did. And I was like, I was not surprised. I knew she was going to do well, because every time you hear her speak, you're just impressed by her knowledge and her expertise and her fortitude and everything. But Stacy, this was interesting. We were talking during the break, and you said, you were telling me about, hey, if you're in Bozeman, for example, this is what to watch for with the graffiti and the tagging. The Roman numeral 14, what does that symbolize?
So when you have an N and then Roman numeral 14, it's Norteños. Norteños are a gang based out of California. In California, you have the Norteños and the Sereños that are they're entrenched there. And what they're doing is that they are looking for other areas to move into. We have been very fortunate in Montana that we don't have established gangs like the California gangs, Chicago gangs, Atlanta. But because of the wide open spaces, they're looking for new territory. And because of Bozeman, again, I will say it, a repeat, lack of footprint, federal footprint, and lack of law enforcement down there. That's an easy place for them to set up shop. So they can come in, set up shop, bring their stash, get stash locations, meaning stash locations, get a rental home or stuff, bring in their dope, and then distribute from there. That is what's taking place. When you see graffiti, when you see the N and Roman number 14, if we see the crown, if you see 18th ST, which is 18th Street, that's another gang out of California, you have to start letting law enforcement know this is going
on. Take pictures of it.
Absolutely.
Call the dispatch, the non-emergency dispatch number, say, hey, I got some photos of some graffiti, et cetera, share it. And then that was one of the questions I have, is I'm assuming that at the state level here in Montana, we have some sort of an intelligence fusion center where, okay, if DHS is saying Tren de Aragua has a presence in Montana, is there a gathering point where they're meeting with DEA in Montana, the state, the governor's office, or somebody with DEA, I don't know, some way to where state, local, federal law enforcement are sharing a certain amount of intelligence. Obviously, you want to be careful to prevent leaks and things like that, but where at least a certain level of this intelligence is being shared across the board.
Yes, law enforcement is sharing information, but a lot of times Montana has always been this faraway state where you can go and live and outdoor hiking, et cetera, et cetera. No one thinks about, oh, when's the next cartels coming in? When's the next gang coming in? And unfortunately, if you don't see it in front of your eyes, you don't think it's here. It's here. And so we are playing catch up. Well, I'm not anymore, but the law enforcement is playing catch up. They're learning the symbolization that these gangs are putting out there. They're getting schooled very quickly. I mean, look at a Marilyn Monroe tattoo. You see that? It's like, oh, Marilyn Monroe. No, that is Emma Emma. Emma Emma is a gang out of California. That's what is representing. A lot of these tattoos are representing their gangs, and law enforcement is now having to study and starting to learn all this stuff and see the signs that are out there.
I guess I'm going to have to cancel my tattoo appointment for later this week. There goes that idea. No. You were also saying, though, because I asked you during the break, hey, before we run out of time, what's some other important information that we should share with our listeners that we haven't gotten to yet? I remember there was a great back and forth. One of our listeners in Great Falls says, look, the problem isn't the border. The problem is the demand. If people here weren't demanding these drugs, then the drugs wouldn't be coming in, which is right to a certain point. Well, he's wrong about the border, but he's right about the demand side of the equation. But as you pointed out, I think you called in after that person had called into our program, and you made the point that here's what they do. They come in, they give these drugs out for free to get you hooked. Then that's what ends up creating the demand. So the open borders allowed them to create more demand for their drugs. But still, I mean, the whole point about if there wasn't a demand for these drugs, that's still an important message to get out.
It is. And that's when we have to start educating our kids at a younger age about these type of drugs. What is out there? We need to tell them, this is a type of drug that's out there on the street. This is why you don't take it. This is what it does to your body. And then also the monies that are paid for these drugs go back to nefarious groups. I had a cartel member tell me years ago, Stacy, when I was on the board, and they said, Stacy, if there was no demand, we wouldn't be sending the stuff up there. And it really irritated me. But once I got into these investigations and started seeing these individuals that, you know, that live in Montana that are bringing these drugs up, he had a point, is that if Susie or James didn't want these drugs, then the cartel would go elsewhere. Unfortunately, we have to stop the demand of these drugs. That's part of the problem that we have to do. And how we do that, we start educating and we start getting focused on our kids and tell them this is bad, this is why it's bad.
Is it also a lack of opportunity in our rural areas? And if we create more economic opportunity, that people won't feel desperate to the need to turn to drugs or alcohol or anything else to try to lift them up when really it just drags them down?
Absolutely. You peel back the onion. Why does someone take this type of drug? I mean, is there depression? Is it lack of financial resources? They're at rock bottom? All that stuff. But there's also these parties, the peer parties of, hey, you should try this. It'll make you feel good. There's that type. There's isolation. There is lack of things to do in the in certain rural areas. Yes, it's all of the above. But we have to continue educating these kids. We got to get back to the DARE program. We got to get back to Just Say No. These are the things we have to get. We have to get back to the basics and the family values.
Well, I'll tell you what. I sure hope the inbound Trump administration puts you back to work, because I know you're retired and you deserve a retirement. You deserve a little downtime, a little sunny beach vacation. But, man, America needs you. Stacy Zinn, thanks for all you've done. Thanks for all you continue to do. Thanks for being with us.
Much appreciated.
All right. Let's see. Oh, the Joker from X with us on Tuesday tomorrow. So you're going to want to join us for that.